the famous Nusach that Rabbi Sosalanter says vis-a-vis Purim. So there's a Inyan Purim of Adal Yoda. There's machlokes, how to understand the Tinam Adal Yoda. The Ramah says his pshat, that a person drinks Mirsun Hargela when he falls asleep. Samela, he doesn't understand that point in time. There's a famous sheet of this Hasemis and Rabbi Sosalanter, also things like that. The Adal Yoda is a tour. Person has a chi of l'psumei b'purya. When he's lo yada, he's potter. He's chayvin l'psumei b'purya till he gets to the point of lo yada. Once he regains his understanding, he's mechuyav l'psumei b'purya ad lo yada, and say kehena the rest of the day. So he says that the Purim is the way he sees it. It's the bechina. It's the testing ground of the body. There's no das anymore. The person is so inebriated, obviously, that he can't think. And the question now is, to see how the body can function, how the body will function, what will it do when it's not controlled by the person's das. So I want to be masber this idea of Sosalanter. What exactly is the test? What are we testing for? Now, Rishon Salanter himself obviously was the Kaddish Mator. His goof was Kaddish Mator. As a matter of fact, what happened on Purim was a fascinating thing. What happened on Purim, Reb Chaim Brisker, who was a generation later, said that the three biggest Goinim of the previous generation were Maror Diskin, Beis Halevi, and Rishon Salanter. If you read any of the stories about the Maror Diskin, about his goyness and his genius, putting Rishon Salanter together, you get a picture of who Rishon Salanter was a little bit, who he was. The Maror Diskin was yidua that he could, on one glance, could tell you how many bricks were in the building. You look at buildings, they would count afterwards, and he was right. He was yidua that there's a tesis in Baba Basra, not Beis HaMenalev. When he moved up to Yerushalayim, he left Brisk and he moved to Yerushalayim. So the Gedolei Olam asked him to say a shir. So he said a shir. He said a shir on the Tosis Baba Basra, the Beis HaMenalev, Lefikach, for 6 months straight. Every day for 6 months straight. And Rishon Salanter is of that caliber. We didn't know. We knew him as Baal Musar. Why? He decided he does not want to publicize. As a Nebus, he did not want to publicize. So in Purim, he had no mind control, so all of his knowledge would come out. So they would discuss Kol Tarkula with him on Purim. So that was his Bechina Shalguf. But that's a special private Bechina that they still had. There's probably more to it than that. So I want to see if we can masber it in a way which maybe will talk to us when we're not going to bring out Kol Tarkula when we get drunk on Purim. So what are we testing for? There's a beautiful piece from Rabbi Ruchem in regards to Pesach and the Pesach Seder in the Haggadah. After we talk about all of the tremendous Nisim which Bershom did for us, and we go through Dayenu and we say Allah has kama v'kama, how much more we have a chiyuv to take Tova Kvulam Chupelos Lamakam Aleinu. Bershom took us out and he goes through all of the 15 things which the Bershom did for us. Eventually we get to this paragraph with Fichach Anachdu Hayavim Lahidus Lahalel Lushabech Lafir Lami Shasala Basana Balana's Kalanisa Way to the one who has done the me to the one who has done. So he asks a question, why doesn't it say La Kadosh Baruch Hu, La Mokim, some language referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu? It says to the one. Why does it say the language Lami? To the one. Why is he use that lashon? Tzvi Ruchem says that the meat of a karsa toiv is a natural instinct in a human being. The natural instinct in a human being is to be makar toiv. I don't have to sit there and decide, well, if it's Beryl did it, I'll be makar toiv. If it's Yaakov, I'll not get makar toiv. Whoever it is, I'm makar toiv. Lemi, to the one. I don't need to make it, find out who it is first before I'm makar toiv. Obviously, I have to know who the makar toiv to, but I don't have to make a decision based on who it is. Well, if it's so-and-so versus so-and-so. If we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, we'd say, Sizz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm makar toiv. No, I'm makar toiv to the one who did it. Period. End of conversation. Revolbin Ali Shirkele Beis has a long arichas, so why do we find a korsa toiv so difficult? If you're telling me that this is a natural instinct in the human being, to makor toiv, it's just automatic. So as soon as somebody does something for me, I feel a feeling of a korsa toiv to that person. Why do we find a korsa toiv so difficult? You know, tell kids just say thank you. It's a whole, you know, avoida. You know, you have to say thank you. I don't want to say thank you. You know, like, why is it that it's so difficult? Okay. I'm not going to get involved in that for now. But there's such a natural instinct. The korsa toiv is a natural instinct. The Ramban writes that at the end of Parshas Boy, that the purpose of all of the mitzvahs is that we should come together and be able to say and be noided, to be noided to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He's the one who created us, etc. If we think about what Matan the Brashim gives us, the greatest gift He gives us is life. The fact that we're alive. So, we have a tremendous gift called life. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us. And we should be walking around with a tremendous feeling of a korsa toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He gave us life. For some reason or other, we don't seem to be walking around with this tremendous feeling of a korsa toiv. Furthermore, forget about the korsa toiv, but the step before that, we should be walking around with this tremendous feeling of simcha, that we have life. So why don't we? So the Chavos Levavos, in the beginning of the Sefer, in the Hakdama to the Sefer, he dwells on this question. Why is it that we don't have this feeling of a korsa toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all that He does for us? So He gives a mashal. Imagine there was an individual, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven was a very big Baal Chesed. He enjoyed very much doing Chesed for people. He heard of a situation of a very young child who his parents had been killed and he had nobody to raise him. He took this child into his home and he raised the child as his own. Gave him food, gave him clothing, gave him education, the whole thing. The child grows up and he feels a korsa toiv to Reuven that did this for him, etc. Meanwhile, there's another story, another individual. Reuven's house was not far from a very desolate area. So Beryl is traveling through this desolate area and he gets lost and he's there for days and he has no food, he has nothing to drink, and he's holding by the last moments of his life, and he finds Reuven's house, and Reuven in his house gives him to drink, gives him to eat, and saves his life. So Beryl has tremendous akarsa toiv to Reuven. He saved his life. Says, and the Pella is, it seems to be that Beryl has much more akarsa toiv to Reuven, who did him a favor one time in his life, much more than this child who's been received from Reuven day in and day out for years and years and years. So why is that? Says the child, when he first started receiving, was not of the level of intelligence to be aware of what he received. And by the time he became aware of what he's receiving, he was already used to it. So when you're used to something, you sort of expect it. Beryl, on the other hand, was an adult, a full das. He realized he was about to die, and he realized this person saved his life. That clarity that he has, the child doesn't have. So we should be makor toiv for life. So, but we're not. Chazal say that betzim a person that kol neshama tahalo kol, kol neshima neshima tahalo kol. We should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every neshima, for every breath. Every breath is a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's human beings who have one breath and the next one they never take, and we get to take that next one. So we should. And the lashon of the pasuk is tahalo. Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal says that the word hilul. There's many different words for praise. The word hilul means wild praise. It means extraordinary, excited, the feelings of elation and emotion, powerful emotions. That's praise. That's what hilul is. So for every neshima that we have, we should be in this tremendous state of happiness. We have another breath of life. Doesn't happen. On the other hand, the person who was deathly ill and recovered, and they get back to their health, and they just walk around with this enormous feeling of the simcha of life. And the next step from that enormous feeling of the simcha of life is the hakarsa toiv to the one who gave it to him. Kaiso lives under the reign of Achashverosh. Achashverosh Chazal say is Malach Bakipa, means there's no world, no place in the world where he wasn't king. So all of the Jews of the whole world are under this individual's authority. And Achashverosh has an absolute monarchy. We don't know what it means, an absolute monarchy. We have no idea what that means. It means that the king has the total power of life and death, and that's it. It's a fact. They said that, you know, during the time of the Tsar, who was an absolute monarch, the most intelligent people in the world, when they would walk into the Tsar, they would become dumb. They couldn't speak. The fear was so overwhelming that they made a mistake. They said something wrong. And the Tsar would say, "You know, I don't like what you just said. The end of you." That they couldn't speak. There's a person in Eretz Yisrael, Ger Tzedek, from one of the African states, African tribes, and his father was an absolute monarch. He describes that his father had the power of life and death. He says the people would come to his father. They were struck dumb. They were the pachad of talking to such a being. We have no idea what that means. Living in such a world, comes out a decree from the king that they're going to die. So it's a fact. It's done. We have no idea what that feeling is like. It's the same thing. The person is taken to the hospital. Says, "I'm sorry, sir. We just found this growth inside of you. You have 5 days to live, and there's no cure for it, and it's guaranteed." That's it. That's the same level of pachat. It's a done deal. It's done. More than that, the Goyen says a fascinating thing. It says that Haman, Hebel Pur, Huagarol, Humam Ula Abdom. So the Goyen says that Haman made this Pur, this Garol, La Abdom, to destroy them. What's the Humam Ula Abdom? What's the Humam? What's to confuse them? The word lahumam means that they're mahuma, it's a confusion. So he's going to confuse them and destroy them. What's confusing and destroying, the Goyen says? The Goyen says that Haman understood Klai Yisrael as the Koyach of Tefillah. And he was very worried about this Koyach of Tefillah, Haman. So he decided to do the following. Well, Chazal said that this decree down here was not just a decree down here, it was a decree in Shemayim as well. And Shemayim was the decree that they're going to be destroyed. So Haman decided to publicize exactly how he did this pur, which is a garul, is something which we know in different places. A garul is a simon of Shemayim. The more talks about a garul, how they divided up the chalukah of the different portions in Eretz Yisrael. That's considered as if it was a simon of Shemayim. So he explained to Klai Yisrael, he sent out messengers to explain to Klai Yisrael, the Goyen says, exactly how he made this garul, which indicates that Mina Shemayim are going to be destroyed. It wasn't just the king down here, but in heaven they've decreed you to be destroyed. And he was hoping that they would be so overwhelmed by the fact that's clear, Mina Shemayim, they're supposed to be destroyed, they'd be so overwhelmed, they wouldn't daven. They'd be confused. They'd be overwhelmed. The humam. And now, once the humam, they're not going to daven, Ula Abdon, they're going to be destroyed. That's what they're going to shout in the pasuk. So the Klai Yisrael understands that not only that this absolute monarchy says they're going to be destroyed, but I mean, Shemayim, the Gezeirat Shemayim says they're supposed to be destroyed. That's it. We don't picture, I mean, you talk about these people, the stories about them, they were living in these cities and the Nazis came in and they knew that they're going to be found out. They're sitting in the building waiting for the Nazis to walk in with the gun. That's the madrega that they're holding by. And all of a sudden, they survive. 3 days later, Haman is hanging from this eitz, and it's all over. They've just been given their life. This fellow, who was told by the doctor that there's nothing, all of a sudden they run in with a message, they found a new surgery, we're going to save your life. That's close to the hargasha that Klai Yisrael feels. And it wasn't just for themselves over here. But they were picturing that they are going to be killed, their family is going to be killed, their wife and their children and their parents and their brothers and their sisters and all of Klai Yisrael is going to be killed. Imagine the feeling of simcha of that moment. I just received life. Not as a little child, which I have no awareness, as a total adult with full awareness of what it means I just got it back. That hargosha is so overwhelming. The simcha, right? The psukim to discuss. They were jumping out of their skin. They were jumping out of their skin. The next step is Christ understands that they're in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Human being has no control over his life. There are moments in your life where a person recognizes that. I remember this. We have the person driving. All of a sudden, something happens that's totally beyond their control. I have had this happen to me more than once, but driving 1998, taking some young men from the yeshiva for a New York graduation trip for them. I'm driving a 15-seater van, left lane, the New Jersey Turnpike, going north, 75 miles an hour, close to 80 miles an hour. It was raining lightly, a little bit slippery, etc. All of a sudden, a car in the right lane, a minivan in the right lane, goes into a skid and makes a left turn to place himself broadside in front of my 15-seater van at 75 miles an hour. And at that moment, you realize you're not going to have life anymore. The person in the front seat next to me said Shema. You realize you have no control over your life. It's not yours. The Bereshit gives it to you, and he takes it away when he wants to. Christ will recognize that their life is in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. He was about to take away, and he gave it back to them. So at that moment, they had the hargosh of simcha. They had the hargosh of a curse of toiv to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they had the hargosha that when I'm makar toiv, I want to give back. What do you give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu? How do you give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu? What do? You say thank you. But that's not enough. You want to give back to the other person. The person who gave you life. The being gave you life. Well, I want to listen to what he tells me. I want to feel a kesher to him. So Christ says, Makabal the Torah me'avas anes. This kayach of machshava of akaras hatayv, which Yerucham calls a natural instinct, doesn't need das. If I have to sit and figure it out, it's missing the point. It should be the natural instinct the Bereshit put in us that when we get a matana, and we get the greatest matana, we want to give back. Adaloyada means I want to remove my thought process from this picture. I want to do it without the thought process. I want to be able to do this because that's how a human being functions. A human being appreciates life. I don't need to have this tremendous thought process to figure out the value of life. It's a natural instinct to value life. It's a natural instinct to appreciate when somebody gives you that life. And it's a natural instinct to want to give back at that moment. I don't need das to figure that out. That's the bechin of the goof that Rishol Sant was talking about. We take away our thought process and say, and now where are we? What is your natural instinct when you're not thinking, quote unquote, you can't chesh benois and say this beautiful shikol Torah, right? How it's alpi chazal, it's been important that a person should have a course of Torah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, state the Karamban, a parshas boy. I don't know any Rabban, a parshas boy. I don't know anything. What's my relationship with my Creator? Do I recognize that I'm in His hands at every moment? Every moment is a tremendous matana. I'll call Neshima and Neshima Tahalo. Every breath is a brand new present from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every breath is a feeling of tremendous, wild praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu, wild Hakar Satoiv, wild, extraordinary, overwhelming feelings of a relationship with my Creator. Why? Because no shikol Torah. Because no Rambams, no dinim, no Rambans, no shikol Torah. Because that's what it means to be a human being. That's the natural instinct of a human being. That's the word of Purim. Zatim Yisrael. Let's, we come to Purim, we say, you know what? We're going to do physical things. We're going to eat, the Rabbah says, because the mitzvah, the gzeir was against our goof. So we have to celebrate it with the goof. So we eat, we drink, we give shalchmanis to eat food, dafka. We give matanos avyonim, that the avyonim should have what to be able to eat as well, according to some of Forshim. And we read the Megillah, which just reminds us what was the story. L'humamu la'abdom. The Gaon says that the word la'abdom can also be read loy bedam. Medr says that Mordechai goes to the Ovis and to Moshe. Moshe says, how was it written? It was written bedam. There's nothing to do. It was written betit. There's something to do. So he says, he went and checked. It's loy bedam. It's not bedam. In that, if we would walk around with this hargosha that we're in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands, you're in good hands with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I give the, you know, the picture of the advertisement, you know, good hands with all states. We're in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. David HaMelech says that he has this hargosha like I'm a child in my mother's arms. A child in the mother's arms is totally content, totally safe, totally secure, totally content, totally happy with the world. Saying, well, it's going to be tomorrow, like, you know, there's going to be enough milk for tomorrow, like, let's worry about not worrying about tomorrow, you're content with now. I said over a story, I'm not sure if you remember this or not. So this mita, the Volvo says, this is the mita called bitachon. Bitachon is that state of contentment and security that you know you're in Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. So it's seeming at first glance, it's a very scary thought process to feel that every breath is a brand new matana from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means I have no control over my life. It's scary. But when I realized that the one I've given control to is much better at controlling it than me, so I'm much happier. So the Ahiya Yoim, I don't know, what the year is, 79, 80, 81. This elderly gentleman shows up to tell Shashiva for Shabbos. Shalom Aleichem, what's his name? His name is Remeir Ayadushkin. Remeir Ayadushkin is a Yid who lived under communist rule. He was in Russia from the time of the revolution until about 1970. Over 50 years. Remeir Ayadushkin, Remeir was a Shomer Shabbos Yid. He went to Eretz Yisrael. They finally got out, went to Eretz Yisrael. Eventually reached the age that he was not able to take care of himself anymore. He moved his grandchildren to Cleveland. His grandchildren, Nebuch had grown up under in Russia, and they were not from. So Remeir couldn't spend Shabbos in their apartment. Not a Shomer Shabbos apartment. There's too much going on over there. So he shows up to tell Yeshiva for Shabbos. And he came basically every Shabbos. He used to come to Yeshiva. So here he is, one Shabbos. He develops a high fever. Now this is a person in his upper 80s, early 90s. High fever is Sakonis Afoshis, so we call the ambulance, and we're sending him off to the hospital. He doesn't speak a word of English. He speaks Russian and Yiddish and Ivrit. So I sent the Baruch along, who spoke Yiddish, because that was his mom, and Russian was Yiddish. He was, at this point, he was already delirious. He was having hallucinations. The fever was affecting his head. It was not good. So they get to the hospital. And the hospital, of course, the first most important question is, do you have insurance? Right? That's the most important question at the hospital. It's like, who's going to pay for this? And so the doctor said, I don't know if we have insurance or not. So he has to ask the mayor, who's now delirious, does he have insurance? So the doctor was not familiar with how to say the word insurance in Yiddish. So he's trying to figure out how to say this word, insurance. So, as a good bachers want to do, he didn't get it exactly right, because the Ivrit, he said, I'll try Ivrit. Ivrit, the word is bituach. So he got almost, he says, Remeir, erhot bitochen. So So Meir says, Nu vuden. What else does a Jew have? 50 years of communist rule. Of course, Jew has bitachon. You're delirious. Of course, Jew has bitachon. So Meir comes to tell Zeshiva. So we heard the story. I'm not sure we heard the story when he was still alive. I think it was after he was nifter. So they made the hespedim for him in yeshiva. So Meir comes to Eretz Yisrael, and they put him in some the Israeli government puts him in some settlement down in the south. He's having problems with his eyes. He goes to the local clinic, to the local doctor over there, and then he needs a surgery. He has to go to Yerushalayim to get this surgery. So he goes to Yerushalayim. He's like trying to find his way around where he's supposed to go, etc. He can't see so well, etc. So he meets a bacher. So he asks the bacher to help him. He asks the bacher, Vulanter, where you're learning. He says, Mir Yeshiva. He says, Mir Yeshiva? The Mir Yeshiva still exists. So I want to see Mir Yeshiva. So he goes, comes to Mir Yeshiva. So Rebbetzin Shmulevitz remembers him. What did Mir do? How does she remember him? She tells the bacher, I want you to tell you, know who this person is. During World War I, Yeshiva had to run away from the city of Mir because of the war. They ended up becoming refugees in the city of Minsk, which was then under the Tsar's rule. And there was rationing because it was during wartime. And without a ration card, you could not get any bread. So his Remeyer and his father-in-law were bakers. And one night, they're delivering some bread. And the two bachurim come over to them and says, can you give us some bread? Well, they don't have a ration card. So yeshiva bachur. So they give the bachur some bread. Says they said, that the Rebbetzin explained, it says, it was considered treason to give bread during rationing to anybody who did not have a card. And they could be shot on the spot if they were found to do that. The bachurim say to her mayor, says, but we not just us, but there's a whole yeshiva group of bachurim, we don't have any bread. There's no problem. 3 o'clock in the morning, her mayor and his father-in-law take a wagon load of bread, cover it up, and bring it to the yeshiva. And every night that they were in the Minsk, for the months that they were in Minsk, every night they risked their life to take care of the yeshiva. That's who this yid is, she says to them. The mayor, what are you doing here? He says, I need a surgery. He says, who said? Some young, this yokel doctor over there in the south, let's take you to a real specialist and see if you need it. He didn't need it. A person who works in Nefesh every single night because of yeshiva bacher. How can I take care of yeshiva bacher? That's the godless person who learns Torah. He used to tell us, he says, he never had a chance to learn yeshiva. He was never invited to learn yeshiva. Went to work at a very young age. He says, I can say to him, he says, you learn Torah, you give a kashbaruch on the meat and potatoes. I give him the dessert, I give him the tillim, that's the dessert, on top of the meat and potatoes. But you give him the meat and potatoes, he said. That's what it means, a pure heart of a yid. That person, when he gets drunk on Purim, comes out love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Comes out of Karsa Taim to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Comes out and he says, Bershom, I want to do your will. What else do I want in the world? Just give me the ability to do what I have to do. Because I love you so much. Because look how much you've given me. You gave me every moment of breath I have a makar tov for. The Maral says, the more it talks about Yisurim Shalava. He says, there's something Yisurim Shalava. He says, what's Yisurim Shalava? He says, okay, so let's get this clear, straight. He says, I love you, so I smack you. That's Yisurim Shalava. What's the Ava expressed in Yisurim Shalava? He says, the Bershom Betzim wants us to connect to him. He says, but sometimes the taiva and other fishburners of the body gets in the way. He says, no problem. I'm going to weaken your body. I'm going to weaken those taivas. I'm going to weaken the blockage between me and you. And then your natural desire to come connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu will come through. And that's the chesed the Bershom does for us. Purim was the tremendous Yisurim, the pachad that they had. Removed all the impediments and all of the lack of clarity and the lack of awareness of what it means that we're sitting in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And Kadosh Baruch Hu came to total clarity of understanding that we are in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Every moment belongs to Him. Every moment is a presence from Him. And I'll call Neshima and Neshima to Halakha. We have the wild praise for Kadosh Baruch Hu for every single Neshima. And the meat of a Karsa Toiv says that the natural instinct at that moment is, I want to give back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to give something to him. What can I give him? I can give him my love. I can give him my commitment to do his mitzvahs. Chaisos Matabal the Torah, Me'avas Anes, the Krashi. Kimu V'Kiblu, Me'avas Anes. So the word of Purim, for a moment at least, on Purim, this purpose, this person is supposed to stop and think, the Baruch Hu gave me life. I have no power to get life on my own. I have no power to hold on to life. It's totally matan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can take it away at any moment. And every moment he gives it to me, I feel a natural instinct, a desire to, for a course of Toiv, to give back to him. And I feel such simcha that he gave me such a matana. Because there's no greater matana than life. And I feel the simcha of the fact that I have this so basic, such a basic metzias of the fact that I'm existing. I don't need das to figure this out. It's not a shtikl Torah. Adol yoda, the natural instinct of human being is the makar Toiv to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we could touch into that deep, in the deep recesses of our being, this deep, deep pool of a karsa Toiv to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the natural instinct that we have to be makir, what it means that we're a nivra, that he's the bere, and we belong to him, and the security which comes with being in his hands at every moment, and the simcha of the fact that he gave us such a gevaldige matana. Me'mela, there's a tremendous feeling of a karsa Toiv to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, what else do we want to be? We want to be your nation. We want to be, do your ratzon. We want to be makabel your Torah. We want to do your mitzvahs. We want to give back to you. We want to connect to you. We want to see you should give us understanding of who you are so we can feel connected to you. And that's our bakasha and Purim. One last thought. The Maral talks about this, the nace was... It's Hadassah and it's Esther, which ideas are being hidden, and Mordechai is Moridachya, which is the Keteris, with nobody can be in the Mikdash at the time you're being Makter. It's such an element of Tznius, and Chazal talked about the meat of Tznius, that Rachel Amenu had Tznius, and therefore she's there to get out of her should come eventually a Shalom Melech, and eventually from him should come an Esther, who is she's not my Geddesh, she doesn't tell, she's Sanua. And she's Sanua, and she's Sanua, and Sanua, and therefore we have this Yomtiv, which is the most unseeistic Yomtiv in the world. Like we're jumping around and dancing, we're talking and we're singing, and, you know, it's calling attention to the. What happened to the Tznius? Tznius is this instinct that when we're focusing about what other people think about us, and we're focusing to our desires, and we're focusing to being jealous of somebody else, we cannot focus on the fact that intrinsically we have a relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I look outwards, I don't look inwards into that Liban Shay Yisrael Zer Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hakina v'hataiva v'hakovid metzinas adam in ha'olam. Which ha'olam? The ha'olam inside of you. That this natural reality of the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is so basic and so real and so obvious, gets confused by all these other things. Purim, they were able to reach deep, deep into that moment. And once you get to that moment, there's no danger anymore that it's going to get confused, because you're not looking outwards. You're looking inwards, and the simcha that you're expressing is the simcha of that moment of being inwards. And it's so powerful, you cannot but not express it outwardly. That's the lack of tznius, as it were, which we express on Purim. But if a person is focusing outwards when he does it, it's distracting, and it misses the whole point of Purim. You lost it. That kernel of that kesher that you have instinctively inside of you with your Creator, you messed it up. We have a minute to put on a mask. We shouldn't get distracted. Because sometimes we're afraid we will get distracted. So the avoda is to touch into that deep, deep inside of ourselves, that feeling of the hargasha of the simcha of having chayim, and that we belong in Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and he gives us chayim. We have no power to have chayim other than him. It's totally can be taken away at any moment. And if we give him back to us, the simcha of that, the hilul, the wild praise, the extraordinary excitement of the praise we have to Kadosh Baruch Hu, creates a kurs of toiv, which is a natural instinct to give back to our Creator.